Drosha for Seder Mitzora Tavshin Samaches, the two Kaparos of Tzoras. When the Mitzora is finally free of his Tzoras, so we atone for him and cleanse him of the Tzoras by bringing, he brings two birds. One we shecht over spring water, and the blood mixes with the water, and we then immerse the living bird together with a piece of cedar tree and a dyed red wool and a hyssop in the blood and water. And then we sprinkle that on the Metzorah seven times, and we send the living bird free, should fly into the fields. After that, the Metzorah shaves his entire body, and after that he brings other sacrifices where we put the blood, and he brings together with the sacrifices a log of oil, and we put the blood and the oil on his earlobe, on his thumb, and on his big toe. And I'd like to explain what the symbolism of all of this is. Some say that the two birds, the one that you kill and the one that you let fly free, represent the fact that speech can be very, very good, like speaking in Torah, or speech can be very bad. And therefore, when we cleanse the Metzorah, we tell him, we don't want to kill your speech. The birds represent the person who talks a lot, chirps a lot. We don't want you to stop talking. Only certain speech should be put to rest and as if killed. But there's other speech, the other bird can continue chirping if you use your speech for proper things. But I was thinking of explaining this in a totally different way. I've explained in the past that there are two atonements for Lashon Hara in the Mikdash. The Ktores, the incense, atoned for Lashon Hara, and the Me'il that the Kohen Gadol wore, which had bells on the bottom, also atoned for Lashon Hara. And the Gemara explains why the two atonements. One atoned for Lashon Hara Bakol, that was allowed, out loud, Lashon Hara, and the Ktores atoned for Lashon Hara Shebechashai, quiet Lashon Hara. Now normally we understand that to mean Lashon Hara that's said publicly or Lashon Hara that's said privately. But that can't be, because the source that the Ktores atones is a Lashon Hara that was said publicly. So I explained that Lashon Hara, the quiet Lashon Hara, is like high blood pressure, the quiet killer. You don't notice it, but it kills the person who speaks the Lashon Hara and the person who listens to it. Not necessarily because of the damage it does to the one who is spoken about, but just speaking Lashon Hara is a detriment and literally kills the person who speaks it. Not because he's punished for the damage that he did to someone else, but because speaking Lashon Hara itself divests one of his humanity and of his neshama. And then there's the other damage that Lashon Hara does to the person you speak about. So you need two atonements. One to atone and correct the damage done to the person who spoke to the Lashon Hara, and one to atone and correct the damage that was done to the person who the Lashon Hara was spoken about. And that's why the Gemara in Avodah Zarah brings on the case of a merchant who went around proclaiming, "Who wants life? Who wants life?" And everybody came, they thought he was selling an elixir of life. And then he opened it to Tehillim and he said, Miha Isha Chofetz Chaim, who's the one who wants life? Oev Yomim Liros Tov, he wants to see good, long days. Nitzor L'shon Chomeros Vasecha Medaber Mirma. Keep your tongue and guard it from evil. The idea being that the Rochel was showing that it's not just that a person's punished for speaking Lashon Hara, but speaking properly is life itself. And when one speaks improperly, he's causing his own death. He's bringing death upon himself. And that's the idea of the rochel, of the merchant. The merchant benefits from people buying his medicine. That is the benefit that comes from without. And yet the medicine itself is a benefit to himself and to others. So the Lashon Hara, the same thing. And speaking well, both benefits one intrinsically and also by how it affects other people. And that's the symbolism of the fact that we take one bird and we shecht it. The person should feel just like the bird was killed, that he killed himself through speaking the Lashon Hara. And that he also caused harm to others. So the second bird we let fly free, and it flies free, not being a takal, it's mutter, that takes away the damage that one did by letting his voice travel, that others should hear it and cause damage to others. Now he lets the bird go, that doesn't cause damage to anyone. And therefore, in the one that we shecht, where the person feels that he's caused his own death, we shecht it on living water, which is Torah, which is the antithesis of Lashon Hara, which brings a person life, living waters of Torah. And that will turn the death that he caused himself, the poison, into something positive. As it says, if a person's a Talmid Chacham, then if he speaks Lashon Hara, that is the remedy for the Lashon Hara, is learning more Torah. And we also take an Eitz Erez and an Ezov and a Shni Tolas, which represents the fact that if a person is not a Talmud Chacham, then the remedy for Lashon Hara is for a person to be humble himself. So we take the Ezov, which represents humility, but humility is not thinking you're a nobody. It's realizing that you're an Eitz Erez, that you're a cedar tree, but you still have to be humble. So, and we take the Shni Tolas, which is a piece of wool dyed red, the blood of a worm. The entire power of a worm is in its mouth. And if you therefore abuse your mouth, and you're like a worm, then you have no power at all. So all of these things represent the intrinsic damage a person did to himself by speaking Lashon Hara. And then we take the other bird and send it out free. And that represents the fact that instead of sending your speech out to harm people, now you're sending the other bird free, and it doesn't cause harm at all to anyone. It's permissible. Somebody will find it and they'll be able to eat it and benefit from it. That's the way a person's speech should be, something that people can benefit from. And then we sprinkle the blood of the sacrifice on the mitzvah to let him know that just like this is the essence of the bird, he needs to atone for his essence of his soul, which he defiled and abused and caused death to. And also we use oil is something that causes light and spreads light in the world. Also, oil you put on the external of a person, and it works its way inside. When you smear oil, you anoint your body with oil. Whereas blood is the opposite. Blood stays on the inside. It has an effect then on the outside. So these represent the two kaparas. The kapara for the external damage that the Lashon Hara caused, that's represented by the by the oil. And the sprinkling of the blood represents the atonement for the internal, intrinsic damage that one caused to his Lashon Hara. And the reason that we sprinkle the blood and the oil on the earlobe, that represents the fact that the person should, instead of listening to Lashon Hara, causing someone else to listen to Lashon Hara, should have taken his earlobe and bent it inward so he doesn't hear Lashon Hara. And that's part of the person himself protecting himself from the internal damage that the Lashon Hara causes. And then we put it on his thumb. Fingers represent a person's actions, how it affects externally, the rest of the world, and that represents the damage that one does externally to someone else by the Lashon Hara. And the same thing goes on the toe, which represents the fact that a person then went amongst people and carried the Lashon Hara from person to person. So he caused damage to himself, he caused damage to the person he spoke about, and he caused damage to the people that he carried the Lashon Hara to and caused them to listen to Lashon Hara. Or as we've explained in the past, there are three kinds of Lashon Hara. There's Lashon Hara that comes from a person who is a professional Lashon Hara person. That kind of person you have to walk away from. So we put the blood and the oil on the toe, which represents this protection from Lashon Hara. Get out of there, walk away. Then there are people who are not basically bad people, who don't speak Lashon Hara professionally. Just from time to time, they are derelict in speaking Lashon Hara. So those kind of people you don't have to walk away from, but you put your fingers in your ears to tell them that until you stop doing this bad thing, I can't listen to it, but I'm not leaving you because you're basically a good person. When you'll stop this, I'll be able to associate with you. And then there's the Lashon Hara, which is specific, meaning that it's Lashon Hara for one person, but another person has to hear it because for him it's a toelis. He must hear. Somebody is trying to make a shidduch for his son or daughter and needs information about the person that they're suggesting. Somebody wants to make a partnership in business and needs information about the prospective partner. For him, it's not Lashon Hara to listen to that. But for somebody else who has no benefit from it, for him it's Lashon Hara. So therefore the person who has no benefit from that, if he would stick his fingers in his ears, he'd give the impression that this is Lashon Hara and no one should listen to it. So he puts his earlobe, the purpose of the earlobe, the outer ear, is to direct the sound to you and make it personalized. So he puts his earlobe in his ear to show this is Lashon Hara vis-a-vis me, but it may not be Lashon Hara for someone else to listen to who needs to hear this information and will get a benefit from it. In any case, on Pesach, the main tool that we use to fulfill the mitzvahs of Pesach is our mouth. We're either talking, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, or we're eating, matzah, morer, and so on. And therefore, we want to make sure that before Pesach comes, that the tool that we're going to be using to fulfill all these mitzvahs is pure and not blemished, and therefore it's a very, very important thing to make sure that we guard our mouths from using them the wrong way, so we'll be able to use them properly on Pesach and get all the benefits that come from the eatings and the speakings of the Seder.